This last year, columnist Jemima Kelly said, if there's one thing that people across the political spectrum can agree on, it's that they cannot stand a hypocrite. In our polarized political climate, the charge of hypocrisy is one of the most powerful weapons, often used to silence anyone with whom we don't agree, without actually having to engage with their arguments. Once someone has laid out any kind of moral principle, if they are ever found to have so much as come close to breaching it, it is as if they have effectively forfeited their right to say anything else on the subject. The problem, of course, is that nearly everyone thinks most people are hypocrites, but no one thinks they themselves are a hypocrite. We give ourselves a lot of latitude for our good intentions, but not so much other people. And so it comes about that we all become hypocrites, except for the few who claim no morals and no concerns for anyone or anything else. Most people detest hypocrites, but if we're honest, most of us are ourselves hypocrites to one degree or another. Hypocrisy happens when we say or what we do don't match, or when what we appear to be doesn't match our inner reality. It happens when we mislead people about who we really are. When I was 17, I went through a process of deciding whether I would keep following Jesus. After some time, I decided it was the best way to live and that I wanted to follow Jesus for my whole life. And so I turned it all over to God. And from that moment on, I was on fire for Jesus. Before that, I was a church boy, a good kid, but not on fire for Jesus. Now, I wanted to tell the whole world about Jesus. But right away, I had a problem, because I found myself to have been and to be a hypocrite. What I was on the inside was not who I appeared to be, or who I had been during all the years I had grown up with the same kids in school. I couldn't say anything to them because I was sure they would say, "Why haven't you been like this all along?" Hypocrisy had me bound, tied up in knots, unable to be who I really was and unable to be who Jesus wanted me to be. Fortunately for us all, Jesus gave us a little talk on how to be free from hypocrisy. And that's what we want to look at today. It's found in Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. Why don't you read along with me? Meanwhile, when a crowd of many thousands had gathered so that they were trampling on one another, Jesus began to speak first to his disciples, saying, "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows. I tell you, whoever publicly acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will also acknowledge before the angels of God. But whoever disowns me before others will be disowned before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. When you are brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. So right when things seem to be going really well, when the crowds gathering around Jesus were so great they were trampling on one another to get to him, Jesus turned to his disciples with a warning. Watch out. Danger is lurking. Watch out for the yeast of hypocrisy. When you're riding high, when success is your lot, hypocrisy so easily can creep in. And the problem is that it's like yeast. At first, it's almost invisible. You don't notice it. It's just a little speck. Just a little place where there's a gap between your image and the truth. But then it spreads and multiplies until in the end, your whole life is a sham. So you've got to be on your guard. Think for a minute. Is there any way or any place where your image or your words don't match the truth of who you are or what you do? When I ask that question, I don't like the answer very much. And probably most of us have the same problem. But then, Jesus starts addressing, one by one, the things that lead us into hypocrisy and what we can do about them. And so I'm calling this Steps to Freedom from Hypocrisy. We may be trapped, but there's a way out. So let's consider. First of all, step one, know that no secret lasts forever. You see, one of the easiest ways to become a hypocrite is to think that you can have a secret life. Jesus says that what is hidden will be shouted from the housetops. A lot of people read this and they think, oh, that's what happens when Jesus comes back. But after the events of the last few years, I tend to think, actually, it can happen right now. How many leaders, politicians, businessmen, and even pastors have been exposed for their secret misdeeds and abuse in the last few years? In fact, right now, anyone who thinks they can misbehave in secret and not get caught is likely a fool. I think it's God that's behind it. He said, enough. Enough abuse of women. Enough abuse of power and money. Enough abuse of people of color in this country. It's all being exposed. And I think God's doing it. And what Jesus says here is that disciples are not exempt. If you start keeping secrets, you will be exposed. Just remember this. You might think, no one sees me right now. No one sees what I'm doing. But God sees you. So what do you do if you've been keeping a big secret? It's simple, and it's powerful. Tell the truth. Tell someone the truth about your big secret or your little secret. And it will end that hypocrisy and it will take the power away from your bondage. Step two, keep your fears straight. Sometimes we become a hypocrite because we're afraid. Because we're afraid of what people will think or what they will do if they see us as we are. Even in the most extreme situations, the most they could do is kill the body. If you let any of that kind of fear control you, it will lead you into all kinds of trouble, corruption, and hypocrisy. And here's how you fight it. Get a bigger fear. Have a healthy fear of God. Be more concerned with what he thinks than you are about what some mortal person thinks. Once you get that kind of fear, the fear of what people think will never control you again. That was my problem. I was afraid of what people thought. And it controlled me and made me a hypocrite. And then I met the power of God on a floor in Anaheim, California. And I was on fire. And I thought I might die. And I said to myself, I will never mess with God again. I'm not ever going to hold back because I'm afraid of people. I'm not ever going to go along with the crowd in violation of my convictions. And in 2 hours of fire, God burned that fear out of me, leaving me with a holy fear of a great God. You know, you can know that God loves you and that he's on your side and still have a healthy fear of God. It's the fear that we should have because he's the one with infinite power and holiness, the one who created the vastness of the universe, the one who raises up kingdoms and empires and then brings them down. And if you have that awareness, you'll fear him. And if you have that fear, you will be just that much less likely to give in to the seduction of hypocrisy. Number three, Jesus says, trust God for your needs. In my life, I've seen a lot of people sacrifice their convictions and do something different than what they say simply because they feel it's necessary to get something they need, to get the lifestyle that they feel they need. But Jesus says, God knows your need. He knows what the sparrows need, so he knows what you need. Your Father cares for you. You don't have to engage in a hypocritical hustle just to make ends meet. You can call on him and he will meet your needs. Don't let worry corrupt your life and lead you into bondage. That's what he's talking about, how worry makes us hypocrites. Instead, you can put your trust in God. I've seen it over and over. We may not know exactly how God will meet our needs, but he always does if we call on him. And so you don't need to give in. Number four, Jesus says, remember that there's an eternal reward for loyalty. There is such a thing as the hypocrisy of silence. It comes, I think, because either we're afraid of people or maybe because we're just so desperate for people to like us. And so we hide who we are and what we believe. It's the hypocrisy of silence. And once we start hiding, that hypocrisy gets a grip on us. Jesus says, remember that if you publicly acknowledge me, then I will acknowledge you in heaven. There's a spiritual reward for not hiding. Not hiding your faith and not hiding your allegiance to Jesus. And there is a secret there for breaking out of the hypocrisy trap. When I was 17, caught in the hypocrisy trap, I determined that when I went to college, I would break out of it. I went to a small elite and intellectual college where faith was not celebrated much, but it was the early 70s, and everybody had a cause, which they promoted with posters and campaign buttons worn on their clothing. So this is what I did. I got a big leather cross, about like that, and I wore it every day around campus and to class. And then I got a great big, about that size, psychedelic Jesus button. I put that right here. And then I had this wonderful psychedelic Jesus poster on my wall. I was determined that the first thing people would know about me would be that I love Jesus. And then I'd have to live up to that. And it worked. I remember that first year, after a couple of months, one of the guys on the dorm says, does it offend you if we call you a Jesus freak? And I said, no, that's exactly who I am, and that's what I want to be. I'd hang out with the guys, and I was the token Jesus freak. But let me tell you, when they had a bad trip, when they were in trouble, they came to me for help. But most importantly for me, it broke me out of the trap I'd been in, the hypocrisy of silence. I was free to speak. It gave me a consistency between my inner faith and what was outside. No more was I in bondage to silence. And then I was free to help all the people that wanted help. Lastly, Jesus says, number five, the Holy Spirit will help you. He says the Holy Spirit will guide us into what to say. But of course, we have to listen to him and not to our fears or our secrets or our worries. The help is there, but you have to listen to him, not to those other things, and follow. When the officials tried to trap Jesus in his words, what did he do? He waited for a minute, listening to the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit gave him words that amazed everyone and avoided the traps. You and I can do the same, whether it's at school or at work or with our family or wherever you end up. If you just take a minute to listen to the Holy Spirit, he will be there to help you. And that's the main point here. Now, I know that maybe some of you get tripped up by that one phrase about blaspheming the Holy Spirit and that being unforgivable. To blaspheme the Holy Spirit is to treat his help like it's an enemy, to attribute his work to the devil and so close your heart to him. It's only unforgivable because if we close our heart to him, we can't and don't ask for forgiveness. It's actually pretty simple. If you still care about having forgiveness, if you still want to be with Jesus and have a life with God, then you are not in that condition. You have not committed anything that's unforgivable. The Holy Spirit is given to us to help us, not to hurt us. And he loves to lead us into freedom and into truth. And the truth is your friend. The truth is the light in which God is found. And if you will listen to him and follow him, He will lead you into that freedom and that truth. He will help you get out of the trap of hypocrisy and stay out. He will help you to live consistently with what you believe and what you say, and help you speak to those who would oppose you or have worldly power over you. And that's a good way to live and a good way to prosper. And I hope you will make that the way you strive to live every day. Amen.